Welcome to the program, Truth to You. My name is Pierre Chesson, and I'm the pastor of Christian Community Church of Shettigan. These sermons are our Sunday morning services, verse by verse, through the Gospel of Luke. I trust that God will richly bless you as we discover together the love of God in Jesus Christ. I want to share with you the wondrous reality that this one who came to be in a manger was none other than the Son of God, and that he came a long way down. Friends, when we understand how far, how deep was the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, we will be overwhelmed with thanksgiving and praise to such a God as this. Yes, a God. That's who Jesus was. Jesus was God Almighty. He was with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in eternity past. And yet there was a decision made. There was a decision made to come into this world to be your Savior and mine. The title of this message is A Long Way Down. Jesus went a long way, came a long way, and he went a long way down so that you could go a long way up. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, when it speaks of Jesus coming into the world, he said, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I've come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." This is the Lord Jesus, and these are the words that he spoke as he left heaven to come to earth. Now, the pre-existence of Jesus Christ is well established in a previous message when I talked about who Jesus is. But now, as we build on that, we look at this and see that this, though this is who he is, yet he made a decision to come and become a human being. That's what happened. And Mary was the means to that end. She was the vehicle through which the Son of God was birthed into the world. But the divine child that was born of Mary did not have an earthly father, except for a stepfather in Joseph, but that it was a spiritual father, in that God allowed Mary to conceive Jesus Christ in his womb, in her womb. Incredible. Incredible thing that God has done to become one of us. But look at the descent that he made to come down to be among us. How he would leave everything behind to come here. And that didn't happen in the cradle, in the manger, in the stable. That happened about 9 months earlier. It happened when the Lord left heaven to be conceived within the womb of Mary. That's when the descent took place. That's when he left behind his own privileges to his power and authority and knowledge and wisdom. He emptied himself. Oh, do we understand that? Do we understand the depth of that sacrifice as he came to do the will of the Father perfectly? And so it is in Hebrews 10:9. It says, "Behold, I come to do your will, O God." He took away the first to establish the second. By that will we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That body that went to the cross was the body that was prepared for him. And it was his purpose and plan to come here and become one of us. But oh, the sacrifice that he made to empty himself. As an old hymn says, "Out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go." Oh, dear friends, oh, do you see how much God loves us? That when he gave his only Son, he gave his Son to this incredible emptying of self. So that Philippians 2:5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, He knew he was God. He was in the very form of God. There was no question as to his fullness and his power and his authority and his majesty and his ability to speak worlds into existence. All of that. But what did he do? Philippians 2:7 says he made himself of no reputation. And he took the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Oh, listen to what the Word of God says. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. And this taking the form of a servant, it's a bond servant, a love slave. Do you know that a love slave in the Old Testament was a slave that would say to his master, I want to serve you for the rest of my days. I'm going to commit myself to you. And so they would have this ceremony where they would go out to the doorposts of the master's house and take their ear. The servant would take their ear and place it against the doorpost. And they would take an awl and shove it through the ear and pin this servant to the master's house at the behest of the servant. Because the servant loved his master. That's what Jesus has done. He is a bond servant, a love slave. He has pinned himself to us. He has pinned himself to us for time and eternity. God became man, not for 33 years only, but forever. Because the Bible tells us that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, still the man in heaven right now. He has taken humanity into heaven. As a result of that, we have this privilege and access to heaven, but only through him. That is why the low descent of Jesus Christ has lifted the human race into a privileged relationship. If we're willing to take it. Are you? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you know the great privilege that is yours by trusting in God? By accepting this one who took such a low place? The fact that he would be willing to empty himself? I can't picture that. I can't imagine it. Probably something that helps me to understand a little bit is the thought of somebody getting Alzheimer's and how they lose everything. Now, the Christian that gets Alzheimer's only loses for a temporary period of time. The Christian who gets Alzheimer's will have everything restored. So there's great hope even in the most devastating disease such as that. But that doesn't make it easy when everything slips away. When your consciousness becomes almost nil. And friends, when Jesus made this great descent, he emptied himself. Imagine from all of this rule and power and authority to being just a few cells within the womb of Mary. That is incredible. And that's what he has done. Oh, what great eternal love. What love for you. That he would leave all of this to become one of us and to take this root and to grow up and know what it is to become self-aware and become aware of who he really was at an early age. Because at 12 years old, he knew he was to be about his father's business. This is Jesus, this beautiful Savior, this one who has taken on humanity and knows and understands everything about us. One who can say, I've been there and done that. One who knows what it is to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as Isaiah 53 describes him. One whom the Bible says was in all points tempted, just as we are, and yet he never sinned. So this one who made this incredibly low descent to come among us, as John chapter 1 verse 12 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is incredible. This is the Savior with whom we have to do. This is the one who made this journey for you and for me. Can you imagine him, the restraint that was upon him as he went through all of this for me and for you. Do you know in John 5:19, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." This is the Son of God's heart. This is the Son of God's attitude. Nothing of himself, and really nothing for himself. But everything that he did in dependence on the Father. Look at when Jesus lived for 30 years before the beginning of his public ministry. Do you think he saw heartache and pain? Do you think he saw suffering? Do you think he saw great need around him? And yet, not one miracle. Not one. As he was restrained from this, as he had willingly left his own power behind and was humbly and completely dependent on the Father's power and timing for all things, so that he had to wait on the Father until that appointed time when he was baptized by John the Baptist and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Oh, this Jesus is precious. You know what he said in Luke 12:50? He said, "I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed." Now, in this passage, he was talking about the baptism of suffering that he was to experience, the immersion of suffering that was coming. And he says, "I'm constrained until it is completed or accomplished." Yes, in a sense, he lived under a great constraint until it was done. But still, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. But hallelujah, he became set down at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is now. He's gone through it. He's become a man. We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate a Savior come. A Savior who has really and truly lived a life we could never live. The perfect life was lived for you, on your behalf. And a perfect death was offered for you, on your behalf, because there he died for our sins. The whole purpose of the cradle or the manger was to get to the cross. The whole meaning of him coming into the world comes into full light and full glory when we see that he suffered for your sins and mine. Oh, my friends, this is the Christmas story. This is the wonder of it all, that Jesus Christ was born into this world, that he was conceived, and that he was willing to empty himself completely so that he could serve you and I, so that he could become that love slave, one who is willing to do the Father's will and one who is willing to bless us and to serve us. I tell you, friends, this was a long way down. And that journey was made so that you might know and experience and discover the fullness of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Oh, God is good. He is so rich towards us that we could be called the children of God, that we could discover the glory of this wonderful Savior. Is there any question then that there's only one way to be saved? How could there be? Is there anyone else who has come and done what Jesus Christ has? No, friends. There may have been great teachers, great philosophers, and great wisdom espoused from them, but they do not hold a candle, as it were, to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There is no one who has influenced the world more. There is no one who has effected dramatic and real and powerful change in the lives of so many. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Would you not turn towards him today and embrace him as your Lord and Savior? Because he came to save his people from their sins. That's you. That's me. Oh, I am so grateful that I am saved today. Certainly not because I'm perfect, because I rest in the perfect one. Oh, God is good. And this gospel, this glorious gospel that has been given to us, is a gospel that transforms lives, that changes us. Because the purpose and the plan of Jesus Christ to come into the world was to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from our sinful, selfish behavior, to transform us into His image so that we can be kind and loving and gracious and reaching out and caring for people and giving ourselves away just as He did. You see, when we read this passage from Philippians, there's a passage in the front of it that I didn't read. I'm going to read it now in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy in being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. As Paul writes, he says, look, if there's any consolation in Christ, is there, friends? Oh, there is a thousand times over. He is the great consoler. Is there any comfort of love? Oh, how wonderful to be loved and comforted by Jesus. He has not left us orphans. He has come to us. He has comforted us. Because when Jesus Christ made such a sacrifice, He sent His Spirit to come and live within us, because it is the very Spirit of Christ who has come to live in us and transform us into His image. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, a thousand times yes. What a privilege to walk, to talk, and to be with Christians who have Jesus first in their lives. God is good. And so He says, if this is all true, then fulfill my joy, being like-minded, full of affection and mercy, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know what this passage is telling us? If Jesus would go this low, if Jesus would be the love servant that He is, what about you? Will you? Will you fulfill Paul's joy and the joy of every believer, that we would have the same mind, that we would love one another, that we would be of one accord, that we would be united? Oh, friend, God is looking for you to be like Jesus Christ. He's not settling for you just getting a ticket to get into heaven. He is looking for you to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life, that you become like Jesus. For the Word of God goes on to say in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. That's the caring heart. Do you have that kind of heart? Oh, I pray that you would grow in you. First, you need to be saved. First, you need to accept this Christ, this Savior, into your very soul and put all your faith and trust in Him. And I guarantee you, He'll transform you and make you into the image of God. Doesn't the world need this? Absolutely. So what can I say to you? I say this. Put your faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Come to know Him, whom to know is truly love eternal. Come to discover His mercy and His kindness, and not only to discover it so that you might experience it, but come to live it, because He didn't come here, as I said already, just to save you from your sins and expect you to keep on living in sin and not to have your character changed. He came to make you like Himself. Do you know the Bible says that He will present us faultless before the throne with exceeding joy? That He is doing this kind of work? That He is drawing us and making us like Jesus? That's his plan and that's his purpose. Oh, God loves us. Oh, Jesus came a long way. So you can go a long way. A long way in being transformed. A long way in being filled with love and care and tenderness and having a servant's heart. That was not me at one point. That I can assure you. But God, who is rich in mercy, has changed me. And I am being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. It's a slow process sometimes. But he never gives up on me. And he will not give up on you. Not if you put your hope and trust in him. Because if you do, he will win you to himself. He will take ownership of you. And he will love you and discipline you and carry you and do everything that needs to be done to make you more like Jesus. Friends, it's not hard to love someone like this. We can say with John as he writes in 1 John, he says this, we love him because he first loved us. And that's so true. When you know you are loved, you will respond and it will transform your life. And that perfect love will cast out fear. That perfect love will prepare you for the day of judgment so that rather than being in terror and looking for rocks and hills to hide you from the face of the Lamb of God, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? As is written in the book of Revelation. But wait, there he is. There is the Lamb of God. There is the forgiver of sins. There is the sufferer. The one who is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There is the one who trudged to the cross. There is the one who suffered and bled and died for our sins. There is the Redeemer who buys us back from sin and makes us one of his own. Oh, I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God that in 1978 my eyes were opened to who he was and what he had to say and what he did and all to discover that he loves me, that he loves me. And my friend, he loves you. Oh, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't go the path of this world and miss the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There can be no other Savior. We need to get that through our thick skulls. There is no other Savior. No one else died for your sins, friends. No one else was God in the flesh. No one else lived a perfect life. No one else took a complete substitutionary place for you so that he was crucified in your stead. So you don't have to be. So that your soul is wiped clean in the presence of Almighty God, and you do not need to be afraid on the day of judgment. This is Jesus. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one whom we can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is good for the young and good for the old. May the Lord preserve us and protect us and cause us to live to your glory. God is so good. It has been such a privilege to share this beautiful little passage of Scripture with you. The great descent of Jesus Christ had a plan and a purpose to bring you to the place where you will ascend into heaven's halls to be with him. As I read earlier from my book of Isaiah, chapter 56, he says this, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm so satisfied with Jesus. I hope you are too. God is good. The next time we are together, we will look at another passage of Scripture. Many passages about what a giver God is. He is a real giver. Now, of course, we can see that in this passage. When people are really genuine givers, they give themselves away. They don't just give out of the excess of what's in their pocket, but they give sacrificially and they give wonderfully. We can have the same. God can cause us to be such a giving people, such a caring people, that the way of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the expressions of Jesus, the mannerisms of Jesus become ours. And so how we treat one another in the church is reflected there and seen and refracted out of all of our lives. It's such a tragedy when Christians or professing Christians and churches have not this love, do not live in that heartfelt, deep, passionate commitment to one another. Instead, they just drift along, tired of themselves and tired of sin, but with no hope. But God offers hope. May you discover that hope today. May you live in it. May you fall before Him and rejoice that Jesus Christ is really an on the way home Savior. God bless you, and don't miss the real thing, friends. Jesus came a long, long, long way down. Praise His holy, precious, and wonderful name.